Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Oral Numerology here at Car Talk.
We have started something here.
I guess my new style of giving the phone number has generated a little bit of mail.
Yeah.
Almost all of it favorable, I might add.
Yeah, well, I think people realize that we're not doing things correctly in this here country. It's time now for a real change in the way we oralize numerologists.
I want to read a couple of letters. Here's the first one. We listen to your show every week, my wife and I, on our local public radio station. You guys do go on and on about your new phone number. If you were my age, you would remember back to the 50s and early 60s when Ma Bell really started cramming digital phone numbers down our throats. No more Butterfield 8s, for example. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, those were great.
Those were the good old days.
Like Mission Hill 9.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I still remember my phone number from when I was a little kid in high school. Kirkland 7.
Kirkland. Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds mysterious.
University 4.
Yes. Shh. I was state prison, too. Anyway, he says, I was a charter member of a counter group known as the Anti-Digit Dialing League. We would have referred to your telephone number in the only correct way to speak numbers. 18,882,278,255.
I like it.
A letter from a fellow named Tim Denny. He says, in England, from whence I hail, a phone number like Belgravia 2555 would be announced as Belgravia 2555.
Ah.
Yeah, see that? No. So I can't do 888 anymore. And then, of course, my favorite. Your recent presentation of your phone number, the way the Brits do it, i.e. 888-22-da-da-da-da-da, brought to mind another peculiar habit they have with numbers. I've noticed that BBC announcers say 1,000 million instead of billion, as in the Earth is believed to be 4,000 million years old, or something in the defense, D-E-F-E-N-C-E. And he says, what's the deal with their spelling? Costing £1,000 million. I've never heard them use billion. Why is that? Is billion not a recognized quantitative descriptor by the British, but viewed by them as some vulgar American creation? I think a billion in England is what our trillion is.
Yeah.
I think a billion is 1,000 million. They don't have the word billion in English, in their English. Anyway.
Yeah.
With all that said, if you would like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK or 18,882,278,255 or 888-22-782-55. Or for you traditionalists, 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
We'll never
get another call. I'm guaranteeing you we'll never, ever get another call.
Hello.
Hi, this is Heather from St. Paul.
Hi, Heather.
Heather.
Yes.
That's a nice name, isn't it?
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
it's
kind of a light name.
It is. It's a light. You think of Heather, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, the small purple shrub on the side of hills.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Cool. Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I've got a 1988 Jeep Comanche named Matilda.
Mm-hmm.
Matilda seems to be making some clunking noises now. Now, the full story is that, like, about a year ago, she started making these clunking noises and whenever I turned left or right. Now, what happened was I had a show going up, and I couldn't have her, go down because I was the only one that had a truck that could transport our set. So I lit some candles and did a little mojo, and she stopped clunking completely.
So you're in the theater business?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes, I'm an actor.
Okay.
So
these clunking noises were coming like from where? Front end.
I could almost feel it on the driver's side.
Gotcha.
But she quit doing it for 8 months.
Oh.
Now, when it first started happening, I took it to the Amoco down the street, and they told me I needed two new front axles. This is what they told me, but they said they weren't going to do any work on it until I got new tires. So I got new tires, and by that time, the clunking had stopped, and I figured, well, the car ferries have visited, so I'm not going to worry about it.
Is this a four-wheel drive vehicle?
Yeah.
Yep, four-wheel.
It's a pickup truck.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yep, but so now she started clunking again.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what's going on.
I'll tell you two afflictions these things have.
Mm-hmm.
One is those axles.
Right.
And what they have is two axles that come out of the front differential with a universal joint at the end of each one.
Okay.
Now, most civilized vehicles have gone to a constant velocity joint, but for whatever reason, they decided not to. And these universal joints do wear out.
They had a lot of these left over.
They did.
They did.
And when the universal joints wear out, they can make a clunking noise. And it's very easy to check whether or not these universals have wear. Your mechanic merely has to put it on the lift, and you move the joint back and forth, and you can see if it's worn out, which is what usually happens. Sometimes they seize.
Uh-huh.
But usually they wear out, and the mechanic will see a lot of slop in the joint, and you have to replace it.
Okay.
The other thing that happens is there's a rod that comes across on the suspension. I would call it probably like a panhard rod that attaches to the frame.
Uh-huh.
And you get it wears out, and you get a clunking noise from that. But I have a feeling...
This is
a U-joint.
Yeah, these are U-joints.
Really? Why it went away for all these months, I don't know.
Yeah.
It did. It totally went away and ran perfect.
That was the... When you said the real question is, what's wrong with it? I said to myself, the real question is, how could it have gone away for 8 months? That's what I'm struggling with that.
It went away. The car ferries visited. I burned candles and the car ferries visited and my show closed and she broke down.
I can only imagine that you had a joint that was seized.
Okay.
And then as you continued to drive it, it got unseized and stopped making the noise. But because the reason it got seized is there was no lubrication in there.
And then
it worked for months and months without any lubrication until it finally wore itself silly.
And it's ready to break.
And now it's ready to break. In fact, don't drive it. I take a bus.
Are you serious?
Home. Where are you now?
I'm at home.
Stay home.
Well, I work in the building, so.
And you don't need to replace the axles.
I didn't think so.
I believe you can just replace the joints.
Okay. The other mechanic that I'm talking to said something about the drive line.
Well, was this other guy familiar with Jeeps?
He's familiar with this Jeep.
Well, he may be thinking that this is a Jeep with the conventional four-wheel drive with a constant velocity joint.
Uh-huh.
In which case, you might replace the entire axle.
Oh, no.
And some of these Jeeps, for one reason or another, did have constant velocity joints. I don't think yours does. I think yours has U-joints in the front.
Okay.
But if you have CV joints, then you'll replace the whole axle.
Okay.
So that would be what he was referring to.
Well, there you go.
See you,
Good
Heather.
Good luck, Heather.
Thank you very much, guys.
A pleasure.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. If you'd like to call us, our number is 888-227-8255 or 1-888-CAR-TALK.
That's easy.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, my name's Abe. I'm calling from Somerville, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Hometown guy.
So what's on your mind today, Abe?
Well, true Bostonian that I am, I like to try and cut down my commuting time.
Yeah.
I go between work and school a lot of times, rush hour traffic and all that.
Yeah.
And I had an idea about putting a second horn into my truck. I like to sort of keep things moving in traffic.
Oh, you're going to be able to blast people.
Well, you're going to be kind of guy that everybody loves, huh? What are you trying to do?
It's not as crazy as it sounds.
I think it is. But go ahead, lay it on us.
Well, basically, the idea is to have two independent-sounding horns so that it sounds like more than one car is honking.
Oh, I got you. So you don't necessarily want to get one of those blasters that the semis have.
Right.
The guy in front who's asleep at the wheel think that 12 cars behind him.
Exactly.
Oh!
Exactly. It's not an obnoxious thing. I just want to keep things moving. And if one car honks, everybody thinks all the cars are just obnoxious.
Absolutely. That's very good.
Good idea, huh?
More importantly, you need to make it sound. One of the horns has to be a little beep, 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 beep to make it sound like the 12th guy back is blowing his horn.
Right. Yeah.
So the horns have to decrease in intensity as you deploy them.
Yeah, and I think you're going to have to do this electronically.
I think so, too. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could do it in the old-fashioned way by installing 12 different horns and having 12 different little buttons, but that would be crude.
But you might be a giveaway by not being able to close the hood.
Somebody gave me once a little box, and it produced all these different sounds that you want.
Huh.
So I'm sure that it can be done electronically. Now, where you would go to have it done, I don't know. And where you would get the suit of armor to protect you when you start blowing 12 horns.
Nobody will know it.
Nobody will know it.
No, except for you, Abe.
Okay. Well, actually, what I was thinking was getting like a real... I drive a little Toyota truck.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to get in like a real deep American car sounding horn.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, the wiring and all that.
Yeah.
Well, I think you can very simply do this with a little speaker and a little electronic device. You may have to go to, I don't know, Jaime's Horn Center or something, and you may be able to get something.
Radio Shack.
Oh, I know who's going to have it. J.C. Whitney.
J.C.
Whitney is a purveyor of fine automotive products for the last 170 years.
All righty.
But I have to ask you this, Abe. You don't think it's rude to blow your horn at people?
I don't lean on the horn. I just try to, you know, make people aware of what's
going
on.
Sure. Well, I mean, if someone is asleep at the light, and the light changes and half a minute goes by and he's still there reading his newspaper, then you're justified. But be these people who the light turns green and, I mean, we're talking about a nanosecond here. The light is green and the guy behind you, beep, he's on his horn. Every time that happens, I purposely stall my car and get out and ask the guy behind me, I'm sorry, was there a problem?
To be fair, I have driven behind you. And suffice it to say that you have never gotten away from a stoplight.
What's the big deal?
Well, in less than 20 or 30 seconds. So I can understand the guy behind you. I don't condone it, but I can understand
it. But that's why I say it's rude. If I were walking down the street in front of you and I were walking too slowly, would you push me?
No, but he
would you yell in my ear, hey, jerk, move a little faster?
No.
You would never do that if I were walking down. All I'm asking is treat me when I'm in my car the way you would treat me if I was walking down the street.
He might trip you.
Well, try to trip me.
No, but you know what you do when you're walking down the street and someone's going too slowly? You go around them.
You go around them.
Yeah,
and you can't always do that when you're stuck in traffic.
And if you can't, what do you have to do?
You blow the horn.
You have to wait.
No, you blow
the world has forgotten how to wait. Don't forget, we're not talking about waiting for hours. We're talking about seconds, if even that.
Well, you add all those up. Like Abe is just about to say, it could add up to years.
It doesn't add up.
It
doesn't add
turn.
Up. I mean, if you could get every single one of these people to move his butt a second or two sooner, you'd get to work.
You could retire 5 years earlier.
You would get to work a half a minute sooner. Big deal.
You know how life is.
How life is, and it's pretty sad.
Blast him, Abe. Blast him, man.
Don't blast behind me, Abe, because you'll never get to work. I'll sort in reverse and smash your headlights.
He doesn't have any headlights.
Not anymore, he doesn't.
See you later, man.
Thanks calling, Abe.
Good luck. Try
I'll see you on 93.
J.C. Whitney.
All right.
Bye, we'll toot when we go by.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Stella calling from Glastonbury, Connecticut.
Stella!
Hey, how did I know you were going to do that?
How did you know? Glastonbury, Connecticut. I think I broke down there once.
Oh, I've broken down here many times.
Yes, Glastonbury.
So what's up, Stella?
Well, about 6 years ago, my husband and I both bought two Mitsubishi Monteros, 5-speed... for the kids, four-wheel drive, you know, something that would be safe that they could drive through the bad weather and we would feel secure.
Yeah, that was
a
mistake.
What we found is that we have one Mitsubishi that is the good son and the other is the evil twin.
Really?
Everything that can possibly go wrong with that car seems to have happened. We've had one electrical problem after another. We've replaced four alternators in the last 8 months. And I finally, this past week, my husband and I said, enough, this is it, the kids can walk, we sold the car. We told everybody who had looked at it what was wrong, what had been repaired, and one guy was a brave soldier and said, I can handle it, I know how to fix this thing, and he took off with it. Now my fear is we still have one left.
And you wonder.
And how
is
much?
Is there something inherently wrong? Is there a genetic flaw?
Did the evil gene get into both of them?
Yeah.
I would think, however, if the evil gene were there, it would have exhibited itself already.
Well, did they share a playpen when they were young, these two Monteros?
It's just that thing. I don't know if it's bad seat or what.
They weren't joined at the fenders or anything.
Well, they're absolute mirror images of each other. They're just different colors, but they're the identical vehicle. They're both treated the same. They're both fed the same fuel. They're both given the same care and driven by the same people. And one of them is just for, I mean, it will make you crazy. And the other one, so far, has been okay.
Yeah, well, I would think you're out of the woods. Okay. I mean, I don't know whatever was wrong with the bad one.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the dealer couldn't figure it out. They kept saying, well, it was a bum alternator.
Well,
I mean, how many bum alternators can you get?
Well, my mother, every time we go to her house, looks at us, and she looks at my brother, and she says, how could one of you come out so good and the other one so bad? And then she breaks into tears.
But it's not clear which one she's crying over.
Yeah, it's pretty clear.
At least she never tells us to our face, you know.
Well, then I guess I have nothing to worry about, and we can hold on to this car.
I don't think you have anything to worry about. You've got the good one. Just like my wife got the better of the two brothers, yeah. And poor Monique, she got the short end of the stick here.
Except you told me that you bought these for safety and all that, but this is not a very safe vehicle.
No, it isn't.
No, I mean, even though it may go in snow, I mean, what could be safer than a vehicle that doesn't go in the snow?
That's exactly right.
I never thought of it that way.
I mean, this thing, you're tempted to do crazy things because you have the only vehicle in the frat house that can go out in a blizzard of 20 inches.
You know, I hadn't thought of that.
No, most people don't. It takes in sight like the kind we have. That's kept us out of some of the better schools in North America to figure out stuff like
this.
My
son right now has it up at Syracuse, and it snows there every other day.
And he's the one that goes out to get pepperoni pizzas.
Exactly. Ah. Who's going to go out and get the pizza? Come on, let's send him. He'll go.
Right.
He's got the four-wheel drive.
Right.
Send Jimbo out.
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. Maybe on spring break, we'll put a quick ad in the paper and get rid of this one.
Get rid of that one, too, and buy him a nice Hyundai XL. See you, Stella.
Thank you for your help.
Hey, thanks for your
good
call,
luck,
Stella.
Bye-bye. Hey, look, before we give the answer to last week's puzzler, we have to pause.
What is this, like station identification?
No, union work rule number 27B. After sitting next to you for 20 minutes, I'm entitled to a minute off for hazardous duty. We'll be back in a minute.
You know, I climb inside and to my delight, all the fancy gadgets seem to work all right. Making me feel like I'm some kind of royal, and it's good on gas, although it do burn oil. Engine started making funny noises today. I turned the radio up and they went right away. In the 15-year-old luxury car, it's a real fine ride if you ain't going too far. It gets me to the laundromat, it gets me to the bar. A 15-year-old luxury car. Well, the paint job looks like hell, but that's one less thing I gotta worry about. See, when they ding my door at the grocery store, the whole parking lot doesn't hear me shout, yeah.
And even though half pipers across the country go face first whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hemmerker Schlemmer, a unique company that has been providing problem-solving products for 173 years, including the first car repair kit in 1902. Today, their lineup includes an automatic cordless tire inflator, widescreen rearview mirror, and a 1,000-amp jump starter, each chosen as the best by the Hemmerker Schlemmer Institute, their own independent testing organization. Find these and other items at Hemmerker.com. Use code NPRCAR to receive $20 off your order. Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from TracFone Wireless, offering unlimited talk and text smartphone plans for as low as $20 a month with no contract. And with unlimited carryover data, you can keep what you don't use. All these benefits for a phone on America's largest and most dependable networks. Get high-quality smartphones at a great price. Learn more at TracFone.com. That's TracFone.com. TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control.
Hey, it's Ophira Eisenberg, host of Ask Me Another. I love film, food, TV, and clothes, so I was thrilled to talk with clothing designer, restaurateur, and Fresh Off the Boat series creator Eddie Huang about his debut film, Boogie, and play a game with him. Listen now to the Ask Me Another podcast from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler, and here it is. This old geezer passes away and leaves his entire estate to his three ne'er-do-well nephews, Chip, Skip, and Nunzio. Now, he'd spent most of his money on women and wine and squandered the rest, so the only thing he had left was 17 cars. So the sleazeball lawyer and the three deadbeat nephews, Chip, Skip, and Nunzio, show up at the carriage house to look over the cars. And the lawyer says, let's see here. Your uncle left a third of the cars to Chip, half of the cars to Skip, and 1/9 of the cars to Nunzio. They look at him and say, what do we do now? There are 17 cars. How are we supposed to divide them up? They're just about to get out the Sawzall when who should waltz in but our old retainer, Krusty.
Yeah.
Krusty overhears their conversation and proposes a solution. The lawyer and the three inheritors say, this is genius!
Never mind.
The question is, what did Krusty propose, and more importantly, why did it work?
Wait a minute now. What was it? 1/3?
A third, a half, and a ninth.
And a ninth, which is... Oh, this is less than one.
There you go.
Because it's 4 ninths plus a half.
Yeah.
You take 4.5 ninths.
So the first guy who inherited half the cars, Chip, is supposed to get 8.5 cars.
Yeah.
Right? The second guy is going to get 5 2/3 cars. And Nunzio is going to get stuck with a car in 8 ninths.
I've owned that one.
So yeah. Krusty comes along, and he says, look it, guys, I'll lend you my 52 Studebaker.
And they said, what do we need that for?
Well, now they have 18 cars. So Chip says, oh, I'll take half of those. That's 9 cars.
It takes 9.
Skip says, I'll take a third of those. That's 6 cars.
6.
And Nunzio says, I'll take one ninth. That's 2, which conveniently adds up to 17 cars. Krusty gets his 52 Studebaker back.
And everything's done.
And everyone's happy. And the question is, huh?
Wow.
Well, the reason it works is that if you are astute like my brother, you'll notice that half plus a third plus a ninth do not add up to 1.
Yeah.
Well, he originally had 18 cars, is the truth.
And one of them. Krusty stole it. It was a 52 Studebaker.
But because they don't add up to 1, in fact, when each gets his 9 or 6 or 2 cars, it's actually more than the old man wanted to give each in his will.
Yeah, but it does work out proportionately.
So to speak. And they didn't have to get the Sawzall out. Pretty good. So who's our winner?
Our winner this week is Christopher Crow from Westfield, Massachusetts. And for having his answer selected from the dumpster full of correct answers that we got, Chris is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our new music CD, Stairway to Heepdom.
Now, this is a collection of some of our favorite disrespectful car songs,
including the one called Beep, 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 which is about people honking at a guy who stopped at a red light to the tune of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata.
Ah, beep, 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 beep. I've never heard road rage sound so genteel.
Well, Christopher, a copy of Stairway to Heepdom can be yours for being this week's Puzzler winner.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new, I would say cute little Puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, feel free to call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Susan.
Susan?
Yeah.
We've been waiting for your call.
Where are you from?
I'm from Aspen, Colorado.
Aspen?
Aspen.
I thought it was aspirin. I said, boy, that's
Aspen, Colorado.
Colorado.
I've been there, I think.
Is Aspen named after the tree?
Yes.
Is there an aspen tree?
Yes, there are many of them in this part of the world. Are there not, Susan?
There's a bunch.
Yeah, that's why it's called Aspen, Colorado.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Isn't that something? What, is the tree named after the town or vice versa? What's your question, Susan?
I have a 1983 Datsun Maxima, and it's been a great car. I love it. I just have one problem. It's a standard transmission, and when I put it into reverse, I have a real hard time getting it out. I have to pop the clutch and jiggle with the gear shift to get it out of reverse.
Mm.
And it really only happens when I have to make a sharp turn, like when I'm parallel parking or when I'm trying to back out of a parking place. And
so you put it into reverse and you back up into the spot.
Right.
And then when you try to get it out of reverse to pull up, it won't come out.
Right.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
That doesn't sound good to me either.
I don't have any problem with any of my other gear.
Well, you got this problem.
I do have that problem.
Of all the gears that you could have a problem with, this is certainly the best one to have the problem with, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Well, not if you're in back. Not if you're in reverse. You can't get out.
You can
Don't use reverse.
I
buy a house with a circular driveway.
I bet you can always get out if you shut the engine off.
Yeah.
Have you tried that?
No, I haven't tried that.
Well, try that next time. Turn the engine off.
You know, I'm gonna bet that it doesn't help.
Oh, I'm gonna bet that it does help because I know what's wrong.
I know what's wrong too. And I'll
what's
bet
wrong?
You. I'll bet you what you think is wrong is not what I think is wrong,
Susan. You have a bad reverse gear synchronizer, and that's why the thing gets locked in reverse, and that's why you can't get it out. And by popping the clutch, you're forcing the synchronizers to disengage, and that's why you're able to get it out of reverse.
How do I
it sounds good, doesn't it?
But
sounds good.
It's not. Now, here's theory number two. You have nothing wrong with your transmission, and what you have is a worn motor mount. And the reason it pops out when you
That's what my brother is, a worn motor mount.
Mount. And what happens is the engine twists because of this motor mount and causes the shift linkage to jam up. And when you zonk it by popping the clutch, you make it jump out of gear.
Well, that would be great, except this car does not have a shift linkage. So you do your shifter goes right in. I mean, any linkage you do have is you have shifter rods that are right inside the transmission.
And those shifter rods are enough to cause the problem with a bad, either a motor mount or a transmission mount.
Susan.
Yes?
Susan, trust me on this.
Don't listen to him.
Susan.
We're trying to get him back into the home as we speak. The white coats are right outside the door. And as soon as this broadcast is over, we'll be whisking him away. You'll never hear from him again.
Susan, to show my brother, I want you to take this car to your mechanic and have him check the motor mounts. And when he finds out that this car has a bad motor mount, you have to just call my brother and explain to him how wrong he was.
If my brother's right, I'll eat his fuzzy dice.
Are you saying motor mouth?
No, mount.
Mount. Mount. Like a horse.
Okay. Right.
Motor mount.
Right.
I know less than nothing about cars.
Well, so do we.
And we know even less now that we've spoken to you. But, Susan, if you do the test with the engine off and I am right and it shifts easily, then you'll know in your heart of hearts that I am right, and we don't have to tell my brother. We'll just keep it our little secret. See you, Susan.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, do you happen to know what time it is?
Time to give up wrong answers for Lent?
No, that's not a bad idea, though. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we check in on a previous caller and find out whether our answer gave him courage, solace, spiritual inspiration,
or just Arjuna. So who's our supplicant this week?
It's Eddie from New Hampshire.
Fast Eddie from the land of live free or die.
Oh, die young. That's him. It says here, Eddie had a Ford.
Oh, must have been a pickup truck, right? It's mandatory in New Hampshire.
Of course. I mean, everyone in New Hampshire has a pickup truck. And it wouldn't start. And after a succession of rapid-fire penetrating questions, we were able to ascertain that the truck had an automatic transmission. Now that's detective work, huh?
Oh yeah, Dick Tracy. So we narrowed it down to a couple of possible culprits. Someone's getting energized.
Because it's either, in this case, the neutral safety switch or the ignition switch itself.
But if I get power to the solenoid, to that thin wire...
That means it's not the ignition switch.
And it's not the neutral safety switch. And in that case, it's the solenoid.
It's the solenoid.
Yeah, the solenoid only costs $7. You might as well try one of those first.
All right, maybe
Or if you really trust yourself, you can bypass the neutral safety switch.
It's a very dangerous thing to do. But in New Hampshire, you'll find anyone to do that for you. I shouldn't have said that. That was cruel and unwarranted.
Cruel. It wasn't unwarranted, but it was cruel.
See you, Eddie.
Funny, no one ever uses the expression kind and unwarranted, do they?
So let's find out how we did. Eddie, are you there?
I'm here.
Look at Eddie. Before we find out whether our advice was cruel and unwarranted, or just unwarranted, we need to verify that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff or the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to New Hampshireites. Is that true?
That is absolutely true.
All right. So were we on the right track with the neutral safety switch and the solenoid? What do you think?
As we say in woodshop, you hit the nail right on the head.
Oh, man! So, really?
I replaced the solenoid, and since then, boom!
Cost you $7?
A little bit more, $17.04.
Really?
Well, that's the import taxes.
Oh, in New Hampshire, that's right.
No taxes. This isn't Massachusetts.
No, the taxes are added on before the products get to New Hampshire.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah, you guys think you're not paying taxes, but you really are. That's $7 here in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Eddie.
Okay, guys. Nice talking with you.
Take it easy.
All right.
And we'd like to remind our other listeners that if you happen to hear someone on the show that you'd like us to bring back for this little Stump the Chumps portion of the show, email us with your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or give us a call here at 888-CAR-TALK, and maybe you can stump the chumps right now.
It's not that hard, you know. Anyone can do it.
Anyway, the number is 888-82-27-82-55. Hi! Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I love it.
Hi, guys. This is Ann in Bozeman, Montana.
Hi, Ann. What's going on?
Well, here's the deal. I have a Subaru.
What kind?
It's a 1990 Legacy wagon.
Okay.
And it's got about 150,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
I'm a college student, hence the reason why I live in Bozeman, and I want to go on a road trip for spring break. But over Christmas break, a couple months ago, it was kind of intermittently overheating. Now, there was never any smoke or steam or anything like that, just that the temperature gauge would go up to hot.
Mm-hmm.
So I was driving from Washington back to Montana, and it did this. So I took it, called AAA, took it to a mechanic. They thought I was on drugs, and they said, there's nothing wrong with your car, lady. Keep driving.
But you know that the needle was higher than it normally.
How much higher?
It's in the red zone. But like I said, it was not. I popped the hood. It wasn't hot. It wasn't steaming. It wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
So by the time they got it, they towed me to the mechanic. They idled it for about an hour and a half, and it never overheated. So they said, nothing's wrong with your car. And they sent me on my way. And I was on my way to Utah because my boyfriend was in Utah. And so I go down to Utah, hang out there for a week or so, and then I'm going to go to Colorado, and it does it again. It goes up into the red zone.
Man.
Tow it back to Utah and take it to a mechanic there. They can't find anything wrong with it. They put a little bit of coolant in it. And I think they were just trying to get rid of me, and they said, well, your car's not a road-tripping car anymore.
Well, yeah. Here's what I suggest.
Okay.
You take one last trip.
One last
trip. To Las Vegas.
To Vegas? That's
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. And you play the slots because you have been so lucky. You got a winning streak going. You've been driving around six different states, and your car is ready to blow up. So you will win enough money in Vegas to buy a new car.
You think so?
I do.
Because, I'm in college, and I'm going to graduate in a couple months, and then I'm obviously going to be unemployed. So
right. So you might as well just go to Vegas. Really,
no? Might as well just go to Vegas. It won't take much, because you got a run of luck going for you that you can't win. You can't beat it.
What's your degree going to be in?
Industrial and Management Engineering.
Really?
Oh, there may actually be a job for you.
That's actually a useful degree.
Well, that's what they tell me. And I have a degree in French, too. I went to France for a year.
Yeah, well, you know that ain't going to come in handy.
Exactly, but it's kind of fun, you know, to throw in from time to time. But, yeah, so I'm going to allegedly be an engineer.
Well, I mean, there are lots of possibilities. That, you know, the simplest of which is that you have a lazy thermostat.
Lazy thermostat,
And idling the thing in the shop for 2 hours is hardly simulating driving, you know, real road conditions.
Right.
So they verified that the fan was going on and off, but that doesn't make any difference because there's a lot more heat generated by the engine when you're traveling on the highway at 75 miles an hour.
Okay.
So that's one possibility, and if nothing else, they should replace the thermostat.
Okay, and that's just like a little $10 part, isn't it? That's
Yeah, it's, you know, and then they have to, you know, drain the system and refill it. They're going to charge you some money for
$150
that.
$150.
But then they should verify that, in fact, the radiator is not corroded away. And what happens to old cars like yours is that the radiator, the outside of the radiator, gets all disintegrated and can't conduct the heat away from the water that's going through it.
Gotcha.
So, and that's easy enough to check, too. So they may have missed that.
Okay.
But when those two things turn out to be okay,
then you find out the truth.
Then you find out the nasty truth, which our pal Doug Mayer discovered recently, even though his mechanic kept insisting, it's your thermostat, it's your radiator, it's your radio, it's the windshield wipers.
Right.
He found out eventually
that
he had blown head gasket.
See, she knew it already.
Well, that's what they were trying to tell me, but I just didn't want to believe him.
Yeah.
So do I get to drive to Utah next week for spring break or not?
Not with this car.
No. Don't do that.
Not with this car.
No.
If you chance it and the head gasket blows, you're going to be stuck someplace in the middle. Well, you live in the middle of nowhere. So how it could be any worse, I don't know.
But head gasket, I mean, if you had a 90 Subaru with 150,000 miles on it, would you even bother to replace the head gasket?
Well, we advised Doug Mayer that he should do it.
Really?
Yeah. Of course, we did it and made the money on it. But.
That's what we like to hear, okay.
And you know, we don't need to say good luck because we know already that you are lucky.
Oh, thank you. If all else fails, I think I'll take your advice and just head to Vegas.
There you go. See you later.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, it's time for us to pause and take a little break.
Is this where the NPR massage therapist comes in, gives us a healing shiatsu neck rub? Is that it?
No, this is where Berman comes in, empties half a can of Glade and hightails it back into the control room.
Well, that'll be good, too. We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
Well,
and even though Terry Gross turns off the radio and puts on her Kiss albums whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Joe knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
We as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult. The connection that happens between people can be very powerful, and how healing it can be to have a healthy relationship with someone.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
The news is about more than what just happened. You need to know why it happened, who made it happen, how it's felt in the communities you care about. NPR's daily news podcast, Consider This, gives you all of that, with context, backstory, and analysis on a single topic every weekday. It's not just information, it's what the news means. Consider This from NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and my brother's new puzzler. I can hardly wait.
I think this is a cute little puzzle.
Go ahead. You said it was cute.
It's cute.
That's an interesting. I don't think you've ever used that description before.
No?
No. I can hardly wait.
Well, here it is.
Am I in it?
No, I said it was cute. Ms. Jones isn't standing in front of her third grade class. And she asks.
Have you met Miss Jones?
She asks if it's anyone's birthday today. And to her surprise, even though there are 30 kids in the class, no one raises a hand.
Hmm.
And she said, well, is there anyone here who has a family member whose birthday it is today? And little Katie, well, there's little Billy in the back who raises his hand and says, I could use the word beautiful in a sentence twice.
She says, that's a different joke, Billy. I'll call on you tomorrow.
So anyway, little Katie raises her hand and she says, as a matter of fact, today is my father's birthday, and it's also my grandfather's birthday.
Yeah.
And the teacher says, really?
What are the chances of that?
How interesting. And little Katie says, and they're the same age. And the teacher says, no, Katie, that can't be. And she says, oh, yes. So the question is, can it be? And if so, how? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard. Yeah. Or better still,
I can hardly wait. What's this one?
Pave it into a driveway made of 6x6-inch handcrafted Bella granite cobblestones with chiseled finish and gray natividad color and deliver it to... The driveway's 100 feet long,
by the way.
And deliver them to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car and you just can't wait, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Mark calling from Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Hi, Mark.
How you doing?
Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Got a weather-related problem with my 94 Dodge Dakota SLT extended cab.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When the outside temperature is 33 degrees or colder, the cassette deck engages, and I cannot use the radio until the vehicle warms up.
Mm.
Even if there's no cassette in it?
No.
No cassette.
No
oh, really?
Cassette in it.
No cassette
but
in
it. But it thinks there's one, and the radio won't play.
Exactly.
Oh,
then the temperature increased to 43 degrees where the cassette deck would engage.
Oh, pretty soon you won't be able to use the thing all summer.
Right.
I can see the trend here.
I'm up to 63 degrees right now.
Oh, Mark, did someone pay you to call us with this problem?
No, sir, no.
Oh, give us a break, will you please? Oh, man.
Well, no, see, when you throw a tape in there, it obviously shuts off the radio, so you don't have to. There's no button you have to press.
No, I understand.
To turn off the radio. So if there's a tape in there and it knows there's a tape in there, it shuts off the radio and plays the tape.
Yeah. Right. Well, my solution would be to make sure there's a tape in there all the time.
At least you can listen to a tape. Here's what you do: you tape the news the
exactly.
night before,
so you'll think the radio's on. And you'll keep hearing the news. It'll be like Groundhog Day. Hearing the same news every day.
Yeah, and pick a day when the Dow Jones Industrial Average goes up like 200 points, and you'll feel good about your investments.
At least for the first 20 degrees.
Yeah. Or I could just leave the Best of Car Talk in there.
Well, this must have, I don't know anything about tape players.
Uh-oh, here we go.
But this is akin to electric brakes.
Exactly.
And you must have a lazy something or other in there. Right?
Okay.
There's going to be something hanging down that's telling the tape player, that's telling the radio that the tape, there's a tape in there.
Well, okay. there's obviously a switch.
I think, yes, there is a switch, and I think you should probe it with a pencil.
Yeah.
Okay. You should open up the little flap.
Uh-huh.
You need to find the offending piece by touching everything you possibly can with the pencil until the radio starts working.
Okay.
And then you need to devise... a wedge to put in there or something. you called us. The easy solution is you could take the radio out and have somebody fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyone could do that.
And anyone, right. Exactly. Anyone could do that.
Yeah, no fun at all.
Right, you can have the radio out in about 5 minutes.
My new theory is don't let anybody do anything.
Okay.
Fix everything yourself because everybody is probably more incompetent than you. Everybody. Doesn't matter what it is. If you had to have open heart surgery, you'd be better off doing it on yourself than having some wacko do it.
With your Ginsu knives.
on the kitchen table.
Well, see, the odd thing is I can get the tape deck to disengage if I run the heat full blast on the vents to where I'm assuming that the ambient temperature of the dashboard is now 64 degrees where it disengaged.
I have to be honest with you. I don't think my brother even has any idea why this is related to temperature.
Huh.
Do you?
Sounds like something is hanging there.
No, but why is it related to temperature? Why would a switch be related?
I don't know. It's been a long show. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
But I guarantee you that if you peer in that little window...
Well, see, I've looked in there, and I can see the metal plate that would lift up the tape and eject it out. I can see that in the up position, and it won't go down
and
until that dashboard is hot enough.
Oh, you know what it is? It's the switch that pushes against. You've got to take the radio apart.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
If there were a train to Lawrenceville, Georgia, I'd come down to help you, because this sounds like a fascinating problem.
Well, I'm just outside of Atlanta, so, you know, we're not too far away.
Oh.
Yeah, you're breaking up, Mark. We're losing you.
But the train doesn't go through Atlanta, actually. It goes through Savannah.
Uh-huh.
So that's quite a distance from you.
Oh, there is a train.
Perhaps you could meet me.
Yeah, okay. There is a train that goes to Atlanta, but it's not the same train that you would take.
Yeah, well I
only
take...
It would be a midnight train.
That would be the midnight train.
There you go.
I'll meet you in Jessup.
See you, Mark.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888. We get them, don't we? Doesn't anyone screen these calls?
Evidently not.
227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Amy.
Hi, Amy.
I'm from Naperville, Illinois.
Naperville? Where's that?
Oh, you know, it's kind of southwest of Chicago.
Got it.
Cool.
Okay, I got one for you.
Yeah.
My husband bought a $500 85 Nissan Maxima because he was convinced he could replace the rack and pinion himself because it had no power steering whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very upset. So.
Why were you upset?
Well, for one thing, you never buy a $500 car. And
what are you talking about? You only buy a $500 car.
And the other thing is that he was absolutely convinced he could fix it himself.
Yeah. Well, he can. It's very doable.
Well, exactly. So now it makes me a little nervous because he goes out and he buys a Chilton's handbook, a hammer, and a rack and pinion set from the junkyard.
Excellent! What a man! What a man!
Not exactly.
Now, a hammer! He buys a hammer!
Because he fixed the car with the hammer, and he just did this, like, I was like a nervous wreck. I was pacing around the house while he was doing
this. I see, yeah.
So he doesn't have any wrenches or anything like that?
Very few.
Oh. Yeah.
My question is, though, when we did have it quoted at the shop, it was around $1,500, $2,000 to get this steering problem fixed. But he did it for like,
$200.
Yeah, $500 in my own garage.
Yeah.
And my question is, how can it be so different in terms of a professional mechanic doing it?
Amy, you should be falling at his feet in adoration, saying, what a guy I married, and instead you're questioning everything.
Well,
first of all, he bought a used one, which cost him probably one-fifth of what a new one cost, or maybe less even. Secondly, okay. He supplied all the labor at $0 per hour, as opposed to whatever they charge in Naperville, $50 or $60 an hour.
$40, $50, $60 an hour.
It must have taken him 7 or 8 weekends, right?
Well, you know, he worked on it for a whole week after he came home from his job.
Excellent. What a man.
And did you ferry coffees out to him and keep him company?
No, she didn't. She paced in the living room, back and forth, back. Oh my God, what is he doing?
So I did bake some cookies.
Great. Cookies?
Peanut butter cookies.
You should have slaughtered the fatted calf.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, here's what you don't understand, Amy, is the magic of the markup. And a $2,000 job. I mean, in fact, I'm a little surprised that it cost him as much as $500.
It may not have.
I don't think it did. I think he's just telling you that. And the other $200 he's using for his own personal use that he doesn't want you to know about.
Yeah, he's probably going to go out and buy another car.
He probably is.
This guy is a bona fide American hero.
Absolutely. There is no doubt in anyone's mind that the guy is
Except
a genius.
For Amy.
Yeah, well, you know how what they say, you know? You're a hero every place except in your own house.
I know it.
I do admire him because now I'm convinced he can redo our basement if he can get a book with directions.
Sure, and there's a children's book on basements, too.
Sure. Yeah, buy him the basement book next time you go to home quarters or whatever.
Anything. Get him the brain surgery book. Who knows where he'll stop?
This guy's abilities may be boundless.
Well, I know his abilities are boundless already, but...
Yeah. Good luck to you. You are married to a wonderful, brilliant guy.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
And don't ever ride in that car.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
No, those racks have been known to just fall right out.
Oh, yeah. Especially when installed by rank amateurs.
Exactly.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lou. I'm in New York, New York City.
What's up, Lou?
Well, I'm beginning to look like a fool with all my friends, and it's driving me crazy. I've got this 1982 Mercedes.
Yeah?
The little guy, the 380 SL with the convertible top that comes off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a wonderful car, and the only problem is that when you drive onto the road and you make a right turn, the last thing you did was make a right turn when you drive on the road. Everything's fine. But if the last thing you did was make a left turn to get onto the highway, the thing pulls to the left. So I end up, when I get onto the highway and it's not working right, I'll pull off at the next exit or gas station or whatever and turn the car, make a U-turn and make a crank and make sure that I zip it around to the right to get back on the highway. And anybody that's with me says, what are you doing and why? And it's, you know, it's beginning to affect policemen and everything else out there. And I've had this thing in the shop. They've changed everything.
Really? So do you want advice about how to cope with being a fool in front of your friends, or you want advice on, because we're well-versed in that.
We can do either.
No, I really want to get this fixed because summer is coming, and this is a convertible, and I can take the hardtop off,
yeah,
and I can drive down the road in my convertible car, except that I would like it to drive correctly.
So tell us what they've replaced, so why don't go ahead and...
Well, they replaced the tie rod in.
Tie rods.
Sure.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
replaced this six bushings. They're big things about the size of my fist that connect the carriage that the front end is connected to
yeah.
the rest
yeah.
of the car.
Got it. Move it. Yeah. Got it.
They replaced all those.
That was good. That was good.
And who's done this? Has this been your authorized Mercedes agency?
The mechanic in my local garage used to work for Mercedes, and I like him and I trust him, and he knows what he's doing. Hmm. But this is not working.
And if you come onto a road by taking a left turn to get onto it,
then it pulls to the left forever.
So, and the only way you can undo this is by turning around to the right.
Right.
Well, I know where the problem is, although I don't know.
I know where the problem is too, but I can't explain why this happens.
Nobody seems to be.
Well, you don't have to.
I mean, I can't.
You guys know.
All right.
We can tell you what to do to fix it, but that's not enough for us.
Enough for Lou.
It might be enough for you, Lou, but until we can understand and explain, we're not going to tell you.
Well, I can't say that I can remember what kind of steering gear an 82 Mercedes 380 SL has.
Let's assume.
I'm not so sure of that.
Really?
I'm not so sure of that. It may have a steering box.
Well, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter, because if you have rack and pinion, that's where the problem is.
The problem is in the rack. And I think you do have rack and pinion, and I think you need a rack. That's my opinion.
Well, either that or the rack needs to be balanced.
A rack and a pinion.
This is your opinion about the rack. It's possible
opinion?
That the rack is going out of balance, and somehow or another, in other words, there's too much pressure on one side versus the other, and that's why it pulls to the left. And it's possible that the rack can be balanced. There may be balancing valves. And you may need to replace the rack. That's assuming that it has a rack. On the other hand, you may have a steering box with something called recirculating balls. And it's possible that one of the balls is getting stuck.
Yeah.
But in either case, replacing what's called the steering gear will solve the problem. Of course, this is like a $1,000 repair.
Yes, it is. It's quite a hunk.
If it's a steering box, it might be a little bit less expensive than a rack. But count on $1,000.
Okay, I'm counting on it. I'm looking forward to it.
Good
See
luck.
You, Lou.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Long Park Low Fat Lemon Jello Luau, is John Bugsy, Loose Lips Lawler.
Yes.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin O'Vera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our emergency preparedness director is Ron Likel. Our public relations consultant is Lila Kadog. Our appointment secretary is Les Dulunch. And our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Ottavindo. Our staff auditor is Euripides. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our rental property manager is Ulysses Up.
Euripides Iripidos. That's good.
Our complaint line operator from the Dubai office is Mustafa Wrong Number. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the FBI agents posing as Peruvian folk singers in Harvard Square, as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our poorly curated clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, spring is in the air. Birds chirping in the trees, crocuses blooming in the yard, oil leaking down the driveway. If it's time to upgrade your car, donate your old car to your favorite public radio station. They'll turn it into more of the programs you love, and you can get back to springing without the leaks. Turn your car into the programs you love in minutes. You can start right now at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the IRS stamps the network's returns, audit mercilessly whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR.